Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shlakaya Chakshunam Minitam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Namaha. So we're only like two or three more days before the actual Janmashtami celebration. So we'd like to speak tonight about one of my favorite topics regarding Krishna Lila. And that topic is demons. Because demons are very interesting. So, Krishna killed many demons. And it's interesting also, when Krishna kills the demons in Vrindavan, he does the killing as his expansion, Vishnu expansion. Because Krishna, in his original form, only deals with intimate relationships with devotees. But as he expands, then he can kill demons. So when you have this statement, Parichranaya Saranam, Vrishaya Shaduskutam, Krishna comes down to this world to kill demons. It's in the Vishnu form, the forearm form. Try to remember that. But the devotees in Vrindavan, they're attached to the two-arm form of Krishna. But Krishna kills demons for several different reasons. One reason is to draw the attention of his devotees, to attract them to him. Because as described in the Bhagavatam, Krishna performs many heroic activities, mamavirya samvraha. And these activities are very attractive because we all like to hear stories about romance, stories about fighting. It's like many of you like to watch rugby games, right? Fiji Sevens. So, because you like the fighting. I mean, that's basically what rugby is. It's fighting. So, we like to see Krishna fighting, and then you don't want to see rugby anymore. The test that you're Krishna conscious, that you're not interested in rugby, that's called Vairagya. So, that's one reason why Krishna does these things. Another reason we describe is that Krishna enjoys these different activities. Himself, he enjoys it. And another reason is that Krishna is showing us how he's protecting us. Like Krishna, 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 hey, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. So Krishna and Lord Ram, they're protecting us. That's one of the symptoms of surrender, to accept that the Lord is protecting you. So, and another reason Krishna performs these pastimes is to show us how to get rid of what we call the anarthas, or the unwanted things in our hearts, like lust, anger, greed, delusion, and envy. So the demons that Krishna kills represents certain anarthas, or bad things in the heart. And we're going to start talking about some of these demons today, and perhaps we'll get to more demons tomorrow. The demons are very interesting. So, of course, we know Kamsa is a demon, but that's another thing. We're going to start with the demons in Vrindavan. So the first demon that Krishna killed, her name was Putana. So Putana is a very interesting personality. In her previous life, she was Bali Maharaja's sister. And when Lord Vamanadeva took away everything from Bali Maharaj, she felt anger towards him. She wanted to kill him. And previously, she felt maternal affection for him. She wanted to be his mother, Vamanadeva's mother. So therefore, she prayed, let me be his mother, and then let me kill him. So she took birth as Putana. So Putana is a very interesting personality because she was a witch. And Prabhupada comments that in India today, in northwestern India, there's many of these witches. And they fly, they're called Khichris, not Khichri. Khichri is something you eat. But Khichri means someone who flies on the through the air, and they use trees. They pull a tree out of the ground with the roots. That's why you may have seen some pictures of witches with brooms, but they don't fly with brooms. They fly with uprooted trees. So they fly through the air, and then they attack people. And especially if they attack small children, like you. So Putana was asked by Kamsa, you should kill all the children who were just born in Vrindavan. Because Putana had just heard, Kamsa had just heard from Yogamaya that the person who was meant to kill him was born in Vrindavan. So he sent her immediately there. And she was going around to every house and killing the little children. And the way she did that was that she took on a form, a very beautiful form, and she smeared poison on her breast. So eventually she arrived at Krishna's house, Nanda Maharaj's house, and everyone saw her and they thought that she was as beautiful as the goddess of fortune. That was the illusion. So they let her pick up little baby Krishna, and she was holding Krishna, getting ready to poison him. And Krishna closed his eyes. The reason Krishna closed his eyes is because the first demon he was going to kill was a lady. You're not supposed to kill ladies. Did you know that? Actually, the Vedic system is that one protects the women, the children, the old people, and the cows. Those four. Remember that. That's Vedic system. That these four classes of living entities should always be protected. You don't have to protect the men. You can kill them. Not really. But the four have to be protected. So Krishna was very upset in the beginning that he had to kill a lady. Same thing happened with Lord Ram. When Lord Ram was first going with Viswamitra Muni, the first demon they came across was Tanaka. And Tanaka was actually not a demon before she got cursed to become a demon. And she was the mother of Marich. So Tanaka was there and she had devastated the whole forest and killed so many living entities, and she was wearing a garland of skulls. Human skulls. And Ram, he didn't want to touch her. But Viswamitra Muni said, you should kill her because she will get more powerful if it becomes the dusk. In other words, when the sun goes down, the demons get more powerful. So Ram's first demon was a lady also. Very interesting. So Krishna too. So Krishna didn't want to look at her because he was going to kill her. And also, Krishna didn't open his eyes to look at her because he thought, she's my nurse. He was accepting her as a nurse. Also, Krishna was giving her a message from inside. That's what the acharyas say, that Krishna was giving her a message. And so Krishna didn't want to look at her. And so she put her breast in Krishna's mouth, and Krishna, instead of being killed, because you can't kill Krishna, Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has a body made of Satchitananda Vigraha, he sucked out her life air. And she was crying out, oh my child, oh my child. And she expanded her body to 12 miles. That's like 18 kilometers. Can you imagine a body that big? From here to Nanda, you know. Almost that long. Big body. And so Krishna was lying on her body, and he was safe, of course. And the residents of Vrindavan were just shocked by this whole thing. So what they did ultimately is they took Krishna out, and Mother Yashoda, she fed Krishna with her own breast milk. And this indicates that Krishna was safe at that particular point. And then they did all these Vedic rituals using things from a cow, like the milk from the cow, the yogurt from the cow, and even the cow manure. They bathed Krishna with cow urine. Wow. Because everything from the cow is considered auspicious. So Krishna was saved at that point, and then they burnt the body, and the body had a very nice smell because Krishna had purified her by touching her. So we ask, what does Putana represent? Putana actually represents something called a bogus guru. Now, what does that mean, bogus guru? A guru is someone who is supposed to teach you spiritual life, who has some spiritual understanding. But a bogus guru means someone who acts like a spiritualist or acts like a teacher, but is cheating you. And you find that everywhere. You find teachers, gurus, who teach you the wrong thing. Like, you can go to some religious organizations here and people will teach you that you're God, everyone's God, or some other person is God, not Krishna we're talking about. So that's what a bogus guru. One has to be very careful. According to the acharyas, when one picks a spiritual master, the spiritual master has to be fixed in Krishna consciousness, a servant of his spiritual master, and coming down into simple succession. So that's what Putana represents. So we have to be careful of Putanas out there. Not that there are ladies riding on brooms or anything like that, but people who cheat us. We have to be very careful not to get cheated, because Prabhupada said, comparing it to something called fool's gold. There is a metal called pyrite. You would know those because you're a jeweler. And it looks like gold, but it's fool's gold. So sometimes someone looks like they're spiritual, acts like they're spiritual, but they're not. So one has to use their intelligence. So that's what Putana represents, that misuse of a spiritual position. Then, after some time, when Krishna was 1 year old, there was a demon who was hiding in a cart. And his name was Shakatasura. That's the second demon in Krishna's pastimes. And so Mother Yashoda was performing the birth ceremony of Krishna, and she put Krishna down under the cart, and Krishna kicked the cart with the demon and killed the demon. And that demon represents, his demon was also trying to kill Krishna. He represents a load carrying, in other words, someone who works really hard day and night and trying to make more and more money, but he never gets to enjoy life because he's like an ass. Now, sometimes people are like that. Sometimes they take big loans out from the bank or mortgages on their house, and they have to work so much that they never get a chance to go home to their house to enjoy. That's called an ass, or a mudha, because that's the word in Sanskrit. Avajananti ma mudha. So, he represents that. And according, his history is very interesting. According to this book called the Garga Samhita, he has a body made of air. So previously, he was a demon, the son of Hiranyaksha. That is the brother of Hiranyakashipu. And his name was Utkacha. And he went to the hermitage, that means the ashram of Lomasa Muni, and he broke trees there. And he just created a problem. And Lomasa Muni cursed him to become without a body. So that means he became the demon, the cart demon. So he fell at the Muni's feet, and he begged the Muni for forgiveness. And the Muni said, you will be killed by Krishna. One interesting thing about all these pastimes is that Krishna, when he kills the demons, they get liberated. Krishna's equal. He deals with everyone equally. So even if you get killed by Krishna, even if you hate Krishna, you're still meditating on Krishna and you still get liberated. But you don't become Krishna conscious. There's a difference. There's a difference between liberation and pure devotional service. The difference is that you go to the Brahma Jyoti. That's the liberation the demons get. And a devotee goes back to the spiritual world. So he got cursed. But you also find out that every time a sage curses someone, it's for their benefit. A real sage, a real devotee, when they do curse, like you find Narada Muni cursing Mani Griva and Nalakubra. I think most of you know that story. The twin sons of Kubera, who were bathing in the Mandakini Ganges, and they were naked, along with two girls. And when Narada Muni came, he saw that they were naked, and they didn't even get dressed. The girls had more intelligence. They put the clothes on. But these two boys just stood up and said, "Hi, Narada Muni," without putting their clothes on. How horrible is it? So Prabhupada also said that if people like to be naked, they can take birth as trees in the next life. Prabhupada said that when he was visiting a colony of naked people in the United States. Because they had the hippies, they had these whole colonies where people were naked. So Prabhupada would go into them and say, they're going to be trees in the next life. Because the tree is naked, it stands for many years, and it just has to survive all the cold and the heat and everything like that. So Narada Muni, he said that actually you were naked, so I curse you to become trees and stand in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj for many, many years. But then, Krishna is going to save you. Very interesting. So the curse of a great devotee is for the benefit of someone. Every time you hear these stories, you'll hear about a great devotee cursing the people or cursing the demons, and then the person gets benefited. Gets to be Krishna conscious, gets to see Krishna. Or in the case of Putana, of course, Putana got a chance to go back to the spiritual world and be Krishna's mother in the spiritual world. That's the mercy of Krishna. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu, Dina Bandhu Jigapate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, and the most to take. Krishna is an ocean of mercy. So even if you get cursed and he sees you or he kills you, you get his mercy. So Mani Griva and Nalakubara, they were cursed to become trees, but as we know, Krishna knocked them down when he was tied to the grinding mortar by Yashoda Mahi. And that story indicates another point, the story of Mani Griva and Nalakubara. It indicates that too much wealth contaminates the mind. The statement in the Bhagavatam is Janmaishvarya Shutasya Shibir Edamana Adalpuman. This is Queen Kunti's statement. And Queen Kunti says that if one is attached to wealth, if one is attached to their bodily beauty, if one is attached to their intelligence, thinking they're intelligent, they get bewildered. Janma, or even their birth. You know, sometimes people, especially in India, people are sometimes very attached to their birth. They say, "What is your gotra?" "Oh, I am a Gotama Rishi." Isn't it? And you have this whole caste distinction between people. What is your caste? Like, different castes. Brahmin caste, Kshatriya caste, and there's sub-caste even within the caste. So even when they're arranging marriages sometimes in India, you have to marry someone of the same sub-caste within the caste, which gets a little wild. So one gets very attached to these things, especially in the case of Mani Griva Nalakubara. It was the attachment to wealth. Because when one has money, one thinks that they can do anything. So that's an anartha. Wealth itself is not bad. But having it and being attached and thinking you can control everything, that's bad. And that's what happened because Mani Griva and Nalakubara were the sons of Kubera. who is the treasurer of the demigods. So, next demon, getting on to the next demon's name was Vatsasura. So, Vatsasura is a very interesting demon. He is the calf demon. So, the demons who were sent by Kamsa took different forms. So this particular demon, he appeared as a baby cow, which is a calf. And he entered into the assembly of calves, and Krishna at that point was just given charge of the calves. Krishna had left Gokul. Let's give a little history here. In the beginning, when Krishna first appeared, or first was transferred to Vrindavan area, he was in Gokul. Gokul is on the eastern side of the Yamuna River. The Yamuna River divides two halves of the Braj area. And the eastern side is Gokul, there's other things, Brahmananda Ghat, other things that occur right there. And then on the western side, then you have Vrindavan, the village and the forest of Vrindavan. Because there's 12 main forests in the Braj area, and Vrindavan is the biggest forest. Those of you who've been to India, Vrindavan goes all the way from the city of Vrindavan all the way to Govardhan Hill. That's all the Vrindavan forest. So they had moved, the residents of Vrindavan had moved from Gokul to the Vrindavan forest because in Gokul they were experiencing too many demons. They thought that they would be free of the demons by moving to the Vrindavan forest. So as soon as they got there, Krishna was given charge of taking care of the calves. So one demon named Vatsasura snuck in the form of a calf. And Krishna immediately detected him and threw him up in the air to the trees. This is like the Dainikasura story, a little bit. But this time Krishna killed the demon. He threw him up into the trees. The demon fell to the ground. And the coward boys said, "This is very bad, you killed this calf." Why? Because you're not supposed to kill cows or calves. That's considered the most sinful. Like of those who eat meat, especially who eat the cow, they have to take a cow birth for every hair on the cow and get killed. So if you want to eat me, just go eat a murgi or something. That's bad too, because then you're going to be a chicken in your next life. If you eat a fish, you're going to be swimming in your next life. So, but at least you'll just be one fish. But if you eat a cow, you'll be millions of cows. So many lives, after life, after life, after life, after life. So it's very sinful. So the coward boy said to Krishna, "You are very sinful, Krishna. You have killed a calf. You have to immediately atone for it, prayaschitta. And the way you should atone for it, Krishna, is you have to go to the Ganges River and take a bath." So the Ganges River is pretty far away from Vrindavan, because Vrindavan is surrounded by Yamuna River. So Krishna was saying, "I don't want to leave Vrindavan." So what Krishna did is that he created the Ganges from his mind. And right in the middle of Govardhan Hill is this Ganges that Krishna created from his mind. It's called the Manasaganga. And this Manasaganga is the actual Ganges that Krishna manifests in Vrindavan. Another time, Nanda Maharaj wanted to go to the Ganges, but Krishna said, "It's right here. You can just go swimming in the Manasaganga." And Nanda Maharaj didn't believe him, and so Krishna arranged for Ganga Devi to come out of the Manasaganga. Many, many pastimes of Krishna occurred on this particular Manasaganga. Another pastime that occurred was that once upon a time, the gopis, they wanted to cross this Manasaganga to get to the other side. and there was no boat, and no boatman. And all of a sudden they saw there was an old boat and an old boatman. And that old boat and boatman, that was Krishna's boat, and Krishna was acting as an old boatman. He was in disguise. Krishna was very tricky. So the gopis went to this old boatman and said to this old boatman, please take us across the river, or across the lake. And he said, okay, no problem. And they were carrying all their milk products on their heads, trying to cross the Mansa-Ganga. So when they started to cross, Krishna said, I'm a very old boatman. I have no strength. You have to feed me your milk products. So Krishna's always makan-choring, always stealing the milk, stealing the butter, like that. So he ate all the milk products, and then he said, I'm too tired to row, so you have to massage me. But they didn't know it was Krishna. So they said, we're going to throw you off the boat. He said, okay, I'll row. So he kept rowing, rowing, rowing. And then there was a big storm, and the boat started to tip and sink a little bit, and Krishna said, you have to throw things off the boat so we have less weight on the boat. So they threw off milk products and whatever else was left at that time. And then Krishna said, you have to throw your clothes off too. And they said, we're going to throw you off. But then Srimati Radharani spotted that this boatman had a little flute in his belt, and she understood it was Krishna. And so they had nice time. So many pastimes occurred in this Mansa-Ganga, but the Mansa-Ganga was created so that Krishna would be able to bathe in it after he killed the Vatsasura demon. So the Vatsasura demon represents immaturity in devotional service, being mischievous, taking up bad association. So we have to be careful about that. We have to be serious about our devotional service. We can be humorous too, but serious about serving Krishna. And so in his previous life, the Vatsasura demon was a demon too, and his name was Pramila. So he conquered the demigods in battle, very interesting story, and entered into Vasishtha Muni's ashram and tried to steal Nandini, his desired cow. So you find this, a lot of people tried to steal Nandini, Vasishtha Muni's desired cow. Even Grandfather Bhishma, before he was Grandfather Bhishma, he was one of the heavenly Vasus, whose name was Jao, and he tried to steal the cow, and as a result he got cursed to take birth on the earth planet. And he had to live a long life and suffer for his whole life. So Pramila tried to steal the cow, and the cow spoke and said, you are a demon, and I curse you to appear as a calf. So that's how he became a calf. And then Pramila surrendered to Vasishtha Muni and said, please forgive me, please liberate me. And he said, you will be liberated when you're killed by Krishna. It's nice. So all these demons, practically all the demons were cursed in one way or the other and got the benediction of the sages. So anyway, so that's the demon of Vatsasura. The next one is called Bakasura, who's the duck demon. So Bakasura demon is a very interesting demon, that he tried to swallow Krishna. In fact, he did swallow Krishna. He had big beak, and he ate Krishna, and then he felt a burning sensation in his throat, and then he threw up Krishna, and then tried to pinch Krishna with his beaks, and then Krishna took the beaks and bifurcated, that means split them in two, and killed the demon. So he's a very interesting demon. He represents cheating, which we call duplicity, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is a very interesting word. It means saying one thing and doing another thing. Like sometimes the parents, they may be hypocritical, they tell their children, don't do this. and then they do it. Like if a parent tells a child, don't ever drink liquor, and the parent drinks liquor. Or the parent tells the child, chant, and they never chant. Parents don't chant. So it's very important when taking care of children or taking care of guiding anyone to set a good example. Like Prabhupada would often say, example is better than precept. Precept means teaching. Example means what you do. There's prachar and achar. Prachar means the speaking, achar means behavior. So achar, like Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad acharyate shrestas tathat evetaro janaha. As leaders act, people follow. So it's very important to be good role models. I can see there's some children here, and I'm sure many of you are parents. So you want your children to be Krishna conscious? Don't beat them to chant Hare Krishna. Don't threaten. If you don't chant, no food. It doesn't work. The best way to bring children to Krishna consciousness is if you set a good example. If your children see you and you're happy and you're kind and you have Vaishnava qualities, then you'll be an example for them, what we call an exemplar, a role model. For example, in my own life, I have Prabhupada as my role model because Prabhupada is my father. Not my birth father of the body, but Prabhupada is my eternal father. And so that's what inspires me. We have the teachings, yes, that Srila Prabhupada gave us, but the example, when I hear about Prabhupada sacrificing, going across the ocean, having heart attacks before he came to the Western world, dedicated to the order of his spiritual master, that inspires me, his example. So that's the best thing, the best way to inspire people. So, very, very interesting about this particular demon in his previous life. He was a disciple of Durvasa Muni, and he became Pulamba. Actually, he had three brothers. One brother was Pulamba. We're talking about Bakasura right now. The other one was the Keshi demon, that is the horse demon who Krishna killed. So what happened is he was performing austerities on the banks of a celestial lake in Pushkara, and he was offering, accepting flowers to offer to Lord Krishna. And what happened was that Parvati told him that those flowers were actually meant for Lord Shiva, and she cursed him to take birth as a demon. And so, therefore, that curse enabled him to be liberated by Krishna. Next demon is Agasura, the snake demon, the big serpent demon. So Agasura, the story of Agasura was that Agasura was sent by Kamsa too, and he had this ability, yoga, called Mahima. He could make himself very, very big. So he became a snake that was many, many kilometers long. And he was able to open his mouth, and the top of the mouth could almost reach the clouds. And his mouth looked like a big cave. But there was a difference, because in that cave there was a fishy smell coming out of it. Because he had bad breath, obviously. And so the coward boys, they didn't think it was a cave. They knew it was a demon, but they thought, oh, if we all go in there together, he can't swallow us all. Anyway, Krishna's here. He can protect us. So all the coward boys marched into the mouth of the Agasura demon, and the demon closed his mouth, but he still wanted Krishna to come in. And Krishna was just sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? This is the influence of Yoga Maya, where Krishna himself allows himself to become bewildered thinking about what he's going to do. So Krishna eventually entered into the mouth too, of the Agasura demon expanded himself tremendously, and he was able to kill the Agasura demon, split, the eyeballs fell out of the Agasura demon, and the soul of the Agasura demon stayed outside until Krishna came out of the demon and entered into Krishna. So the Agasura demon represents something that's really bad, which is cruelty. Cruelty basically comes from hating other people, feeling that other people are less. A real Vaishnava loves everybody. In the Upanishad, it states, Yastu sarvani bhutani atmane banu pashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tatona vidhi bhushate. That a devotee sees everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. That means everyone is our brother or sister. So if we hate anyone, we're not actually acting or thinking like a devotee. If you have any enemies, one of the names of Maharaj Yudhisthira was Ajata Shatru. That means he whose enemy is never born. And Lord Kapiladev states, Tatikshava Kurunika Surada Sarvadeinam Ajata Shatruva Shanta Sadhava Sadabhushana, that the qualities of a Vaishnava that we should aspire for are to be tolerant, merciful, a friend to all living entities, self-controlled, and ultimately not to have any enemies. If you are thinking you have any enemies, then you're not acting like a Vaishnava, or thinking like a Vaishnava. Trying to remember that. So a Vaishnava loves everybody. So, this Agasura represents this friends and enemies concept, which Prahlad Maharaj was taught that by his teacher Sandana Marga in the Asura Kula, but Prahlad Maharaj refused to accept that. In fact, Prahlad Maharaj never even considered his father to be his enemy, even though his father was trying to kill him in so many ways. So this is Vaishnava attitude. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who I'm getting a lot of this information from, says that this is a great offense against the chanting of the holy name. And it manifests, which is really interesting, as an unwillingness to help people. Like if we see someone who is suffering and we are unwilling to help them, that's the same thing as a gosur. You're having the same mentality. You think that you're better than that. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us, that one has to be ready to offer all respects to others. Sometimes people ask, how do you become humble? Lord Chaitanya says, you become humble by offering respects and service to other people. That's practical. So, this particular demon, the Agasura demon, in his previous life, was the son of Sankasura. He was very handsome. Not when he was a snake. But he was very handsome in his previous life and very proud. As we mentioned before, people get proud because of their bodily beauty, or proud because of their intelligence, or proud because of their learning, or proud because of their family. So he was very, very proud. But he saw this one Muni named Astavakra. Astavakra Muni is a Muni, a sage, who's curved in eight ways. His body is a little bit unusual. Just like you've seen people sometimes, they may be crippled in certain ways. And very cruel people will laugh at them. I've seen that happen. Very, very cruel. So he laughed at this Muni. And he said, ooh, you are ugly! Now, don't want to say that to a Muni. Don't want to say that to anybody. It's a great offense. Because we're not the body, first of all. And there's no question of an ugly body or a pretty body. It's all in the mind. How do I know it's in the mind? Well, it depends on the type of body you have. For example, if you have the body of a frog, You will look at another frog and think they're attractive. Right? And if you have the body of a human being, you'll look at a frog and think it's disgusting. Nobody goes and kisses a frog. Except for other frogs. So depending on the body, it's all mental concoction. All mental concoction, what we find attractive, like Krishna says, attraction and repulsion is felt by conditioned souls in this material world. So anyway, he was laughing at the sage and said, "You are ugly." The sage cursed him, become the ugliest snake on the earth. Yeah. And of course he felt bad that he was cursed, and at the same time he begged out at the feet of the sage and said, "Please forgive me." And the sage said, "Okay, but you'll be a snake, but you'll be killed by Krishna." Nice story. So there's another pastime that's not specifically about a demon, and that's called the Brahma Vimohana Leela. Now Brahma is not a demon, but he acted like a demon in that he kidnapped the calves and Krishna's cowherd boys. Now, right after this pastime of the Gasura, Krishna was only 5 years old. Only 5 years old. And Balaram wasn't there because it was his birthday. It was Balaram's birthday. So nobody talked about this pastime of Gasura until Krishna was 6 years old. Now why is that? Because all the cowherd boys and calves had been kidnapped for 1 year by Lord Brahma. So Lord Brahma watched the whole killing of Agasura and thought, "Boy, this cowherd boy, he's pretty fucked up. I'm going to test him." So Lord Brahma came down and he kidnapped the cowherd boys and the calves, and he put them in a cave. And Krishna was more intelligent. Krishna wanted to show Lord Brahma who was the boss. And the way he did that, not only showed Lord Brahma who was the boss, but he fulfilled other devotees' desires. For example, all the gopis, they wanted to marry Krishna. So what he did is Krishna expanded himself as all the cowherd boys, and the gopis got married that year. So Krishna married... Krishna did marry all the gopis, because in those days the marriages were done when the children were very young, like 5, 6 years old. It's not that they lived with each other, but it was arranged so that later on when they got older, they weren't worried about who was going to be their husband or who was going to be their wife. Nowadays, people, they go on the internet to find their husband or wife. Sure. Even sometimes devotees, there's the VaishnavMarriage.com. None of your girls should go on it. So. And they people put their pictures on, wanted, good husband, must have money. But those days they were arranged at a very early age. I mean, even Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he was 8 years old when he got married. So Krishna wanted all the girls to marry him, and that's how he did it. Very, very interesting. And also, all the residents of Vrindavan, all the other old gopis, that means the ladies who were already married with children, they all wanted Krishna as their son. So in this way, they all got Krishna as their son for 1 year. And all the cows wanted Krishna as their calf. So Krishna was fulfilling the desire of all these different personalities in Vrindavan. Very interesting. And so then what happened is that after a year, Balaram was asking Krishna, you know, why do all these calves, the cows, love their calves more than ever before? You're doing something tricky, Krishna. Because even though Balaram is Krishna, there's no difference. still under what we call Yoga Maya, Balaram doesn't understand sometimes what Krishna is doing. That's Yoga Maya. So the pastimes, even though they're the same person, can you imagine that? Oh, you can't. It's actually inconceivable. That you have the same person who doesn't understand what he's doing. And he's in two different places at the same time. As we mentioned before, Krishna can be unlimited number of places. Simultaneously, he's the Supreme Personality of God. So after a year, Lord Rama looked, and he saw Krishna with the same coward boys, because they were all Krishna, and the same calves. And then he looked again, and all these calves and coward boys took on forearm forms. And then he apologized, of course, to Krishna. So this anartha, or unwanted quality, that Lord Brahma exhibited was attachment to one's own intelligence. Because Lord Brahma is the most intelligent person in the universe. He has four heads. In some universes, the Lord Brahmas in some universes have 1,000 heads. That's better than Ravana. Ravana was only Dasagriva. And some universes may be, you know, 10 million, crore Griva. Anyway, so this is the attachment to one's intelligence, to false pride in one's intelligence, and speculation. And this causes one to disrespect the Lord's Madhurya Lila, that means the sweet, intimate relationships in Vrindavan. Because when sometimes people look at these different relationships that Krishna had in Vrindavan, and they think, how can he be God? He's just engaged in activities that are against the regulated principles. Like Krishna's dancing with so many gopis in the middle of the night. But the point is that Krishna did not dance with anyone else's wives. They all belong to him. Everyone belongs to Krishna. And it is your illusion to think that someone is your wife. That is a great illusion. Because to think that someone belongs to you, or something belongs to you, is wrong. Ishavasharidam sarvam yatkin ja javajam jagat. Tenajitena bunjita magita kasha spidlana. Everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. Everyone belongs to Krishna. And so that was taught in that particular pastime. And the final pastime we'll talk about is the pastime of Denakasura. Denakasura, of course, that's the pastime that involves Lord Balaram. So Denakasura was a big ass demon. That means a donkey, for those of you who can't figure that out. And in his previous life, he was the son of Bali Maharaj, and he also offended Durvasa Muni because he was dancing, or the son of Bali Maharaj was dancing with 10,000 girls, young girls. And Durvasa Muni was so disturbed, he said, "Fool, you're an ass. You should become a demon for 400,000 years in the land of Mathura. And after that, Krishna will liberate you." So this particular demon, he lived in the Talavana forest. The Talavana forest is a forest that has these fruit trees called the tal fruit trees. And Krishna and the coward boys wanted to eat those fruits. The coward boys especially said to Krishna, "Please get us those fruits." So they went with Krishna and Balaram to the Talavana forest. And Balaram was the one who grabbed the Denakasura demon, who was a big donkey, a big ass, and he threw him up in the tree, and Krishna and Balaram began to throw all the other donkeys up in the tree. And the reason that Balaram killed this Denakasura, is because Denakasura was previously the son of Bali Maharaj. And Krishna had promised, in the form of Nrisingad Bhagavan, that he would not kill any of Prahlad Maharaj's family. Because there was Prahlad Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj was the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So, therefore, Balaram had to kill this particular demon. So, this is a great demon. So this demon represents lust and greed and all the things associated with that, that kama, krodha, madhavatsari, practically all the anarthas. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes that the demons that are killed by Balaram are anarthas, or they represent anarthas, that we have to personally work on ourselves with the help of Balaram. Because many times devotees are just waiting for Krishna to do everything for them. Right? They think, when will Krishna take away my lust, anger, and greed? Hopefully I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I'll be gone. It doesn't work like that. You have to control these things, as Krishna says in the Gita. The higher self has to control the lower self. And that's called Bhuti Yoga. And so Krishna is teaching us this. And that's Balaram. Of course, Balaram is the original spiritual master. As you know, we just celebrated Balaram's appearance day. And no one becomes Krishna conscious without the mercy of Balaram. Balaram is represented by, Balaram is Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is Balaram. And Balaram is represented by the spiritual master. But the spiritual master gives you instructions. It's not, you know, you want free mercy. Dear Guru Maharaj, give me the mercy that I become Krishna conscious tomorrow. Okay. He doesn't do that. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitte Te Kori Akya. He gives you instructions how to be Krishna conscious. So, anyway, so we should regularly hear about these different personalities who Krishna killed, the demons that Krishna killed, the pastimes that Krishna enacted, and we learn lessons from these things. So, any questions or comments? And tomorrow night we'll be speaking again about Krishna Leela. Questions or comments? Yes?
You said
about liberated.
Do we have any? Do we have any list like listings in the habit of like? Do we have any names of those like Balibaraj's son?
Well, we have Banasura, who is Balibaraj's son, but we don't have any other names that I know right now. But when the, thank you for asking the questions. It says the 21 generation become liberated, but there's a difference between liberated and being a pure devotee. Like anyone who goes and sees the Rath Yatra card is liberated. Anyone who chants Hare Krishna once is liberated. But it's not that they become pure devotees like that. Liberated means freed from karma, karmic reactions, and they get the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. But we have to want to be Krishna conscious. We have to work at it. Krishna consciousness is a cultivation. That's why we have something called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti means practice. Just like if one wants to learn to play a musical instrument, you have to practice. You can't say, oh, I have a good teacher. That's part of it. But you have to follow the teacher's instructions and you have to practice. You can't become a good musician just by having a good teacher. In the same way, you can't become a good devotee just by having a good spiritual master. You have to practice at it. And practice means controlling the senses. Vacho vega manasakrit pradavayam, jiva vegaam udarapashta vegaam. Tolerating the pushings and pullings of the senses and dedicating yourself to sadhana bhakti, the process of sadhana bhakti, chanting a certain number of rounds every day, following the rules and regulations, offering all your food to Krishna, etc. And reading regularly or hearing regularly from Bhagavatam. Very important. Bhagavat, nasta prayeshu avatareshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. Hearing on a regular basis about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's instructions, and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. That is the process. And if you do that, then you will become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, there's no free rise. Otherwise, Krishna says,
Bahunam janmanavante ganamamam prabhatite vasudeva sarvaviti samahatma sugrilava.
It may take many, many births.
And who wants to come back again?
We want to go back.
Punarjanma naiti mamiti soju.
We want to be with Krishna.
So, thank you for your question. Any other quick questions before we end tonight's program?
If you are honest to Prabhupada, just like your guru.
What's that?
Yeah.
If you are honest,
yes,
to your guru, then it is likely that you can go to Vrindavan in your next life.
If you're honest and you follow the instructions, honesty means to follow the instructions of the guru, yes. You will become Krishna conscious by the end of this lifetime. Guarantee. Prabhupada gave us this guarantee. We were speaking before, one interesting thing Prabhupada said, if you follow Krishna consciousness for at least 50 years, you'll be Krishna conscious. You'll be a pure devotee. So I have 3 more years to go. I joined the movement in 1971, so 3 more years would be, right? 21, so 2021, gotta make. I just have to hold on for 3 more years. No, really. Actually, one can become Krishna conscious in 1 minute, or it can take many lifetimes, depending on one's desires. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Ki Jai. Gaura Premananda.